The White Network presents Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. Your host, Carolyn Yeager.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining me on this first day of June 2013. The topic, as it usually is in one way or the other, is Jews. The Jews never stop at trying to force our societies to do what's good for them, so we must never stop either. In looking over the Jewish news of the past week, the Jewish press, if you will, it is apparent that organized Jewry, which most Jews acquiesce to, never ceases from pushing for their own interests. Leading in the headlines is the claimed rise in anti-Semitism, for which remedies must be found. So I'm going to mention a few of these just to start off the program, to get the parameters set, I would say. And the first thing that that seems important to me about anti-Semitism is this fourth conference of the Global Forum for Combating Anti-Semitism, which was held in Jerusalem this week. Now, this global forum, well, they try to make out that this is, you know, everybody, you know, all over the world, kind of an international thing where there's a consensus about this. I don't know who all, other than the Jews, is involved in it, but I'm sure they have some people. And it's the fourth conference, so I guess I've heard of this before, the Global Forum for Combating Anti-Semitism. And just to see what it's all about, they say there's this Dr. Silva, who's chairs the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. You can imagine what that is. We have to be vigilant, he said, and condemn these groups and also make sure that domestic and national governments are speaking out against this type of behavior and denial of the Holocaust, he added. Holocaust denial comes in many forms, such as minimization, trivialization, and comparing it to other genocides while claiming that the Holocaust, quote, wasn't as bad, unquote. And he said, this is becoming fashionable in some circles, and we have to combat that as well. Well, this was found in the Aretz Sheva news from Israel, directly from Israel, and where this is taking place. And they promote all this. All the Jewish people, you know, a lot of Jewish people read all this. The rest of us get it. Maybe we don't, but it's telling us that, you know, they're working on this very hard, and they want to make sure that domestic governments and national governments, however that works, but they want to get to national governments, they want to get the governments to agree and to speak out and against what these things that they point out are problems. This is the important part. And they do get governments to do it because they have leverages of power over these governments in different ways. And they get them to, you know, make blah, blah statements. Whether they do a lot about it is another thing, but some of them do and some of them don't. But they want to get them to pass laws, to keep passing laws to make it illegal, basically to make anti-Semitism illegal. And I've talked about this quite a bit. I think, you know, I see this as a real problem. Because people become convinced, too many people that aren't in the know, like those of us and those of you listening to me, they become convinced that, yes, it's a bad thing, we can't allow it. Now the next item, though, is even more important, and that is, might be connected with this, because it's something held in Jerusalem, too, and this was on Wednesday that this came out. It's probably connected. It's the Interparliamentary Coalition Combating Anti-Semitism, which was probably at this, you know, present at this fourth conference on global you know, global forum for combating anti-Semitism. And this is, is known as the ICCA Internet Hate Task Force Report and Recommendations. Now, this comes from the Anti-Defamation League, who was there, and they're working with people in Israel to do all this. That's kind of a strange thing, I think. But they are, they have come up with this report. And this report was created by a task force chaired by Yuli Edelstein, who is an Israeli Knesset speaker. So there you go, a legislator, a lawmaker. They're going after the lawmakers because they want laws passed. And the ADL, this Israeli lawmaker and the ADL, civil rights chair Christopher Wolf, who works with Abraham Foxman. And they have written this report, and they have made recommendations, you know, at the end of it. And this report responding to including the creation of policies on hate speech and better enforcement of hate speech policies. Now, they're calling for a response, and they're going to, as I already said, and just, you know, title of this report is coming out on June 4th, and the title is Viral Hate Containing Its Spread on the Internet. Pretty catchy title. Get people to pay attention. Viral Hate and Internet, you know, and they're getting this. I bet it's going to be in every bookstore, except for some independent bookstores, but it'll be all over the world in bookstores. As some big news. And the Internet, they say, this is what they say in here. This is a statement from the ADL. And this is what to pay attention to here. The Internet, with all of its great benefits to society, has also become a superhighway for hate. Anti-Semitism, Holocaust denial, cyberbullying, and other forms of hatred have proliferated online. And this, the ICCA, this is the Foxman's group, recommendations represent many of a dialogue with industry that puts mechanisms in place to respond to internet hate while balancing individual rights and freedoms. Sure. That's what they said at this, and they're at the Google Forum. It says right here. So I knew they were connected with that, but. They're coming out with their own thing from there. And the here, you know, we know that they're trying to make anti-Semitism into some big problem, and that it has to be dealt with legally by governments and by legislatures all around the world. And they include in that Holocaust denial or Holocaust revisionism, any kind of questioning of the Holocaust. And also now cyberbullying. And you see how they do. You know, they made bullying a big issue in the schools. And that's been going on for quite a number of years now. And you have taught this whole generation that bullying is so wrong and so bad. And, of course, bullying's been going on among kids forever. And mainly people get over it. It's not that bad. But if you get grown-ups involved and the school administration involved, then kids probably get resentful, and then they hate that kid more than ever. But usually bullying moves around from one to another. Once somebody who's being bullied one week or picked on for some reason, the next week he's a part of the group that's picking on someone else. So, I mean, you know, it's just part of childhood. But here we've got they want to stop any kind of criticism of anyone or anything hurtful being said in cyberspace, and call it cyberbullying. And so this is, and they say that the most meaningful way to address this issue is to work directly with intermediaries, whoever they might be, to encourage a transparent and inclusive approach. You see, what that's meaningless talk right there, but what they mean is they want to get to they want to get to other people besides the Jews. They want to get to the intermediaries who will do that. They want to work with these people, and so that they can get something accomplished. And here's another important statement. this ADL statement said, hate speech is more than just a belief or perspective. It reinforces stereotypes and strengthens the belief that singling out the other for abuse is acceptable. Now, you know, we say, and free speech people say, and the defense for free speech is that people have a right to have their own beliefs, and they have a right to have their own perspective on life, and they have a right to express that if they, you know, if they feel like they want to. And they can express it in public. They should be able to express it in newspaper, letters to the editor, and in anything, books that they write, and, you know, and in on the internet, on websites or comments they write, whatever. It's a belief. It's, you know, it's your own personal belief you have a right to. But now they're, see, they know that. And the thing is, they're always looking at what, you know, what allows our freedoms to go on and our societies to continue a little bit in the way that they have been, and find a way around that. So they're finding it by using this idea that hate speech is not just a belief or a perspective. It's more than that, because it singles out the other for abuse. And again, there's this thing about the other, you know, and Elie Wiesel has been using that term for quite a while now, quite a number of years. I don't know if they got it from him or he was given it by them to use, but this is the whole idea that there can't be any other. If you see somebody as the other, you're going to hate them, or you're going to dislike them, or you're going to find some reason to exclude them from your company or whatever, and you're going to, you know, they're going to end up being possibilities for abuse. So this, we must not allow this, have to stop that before it ever happens. So there can't be any other. It makes me think of that line by Stephen Weiss that was on that little image that I put on the one of our recent International Jew post program posts that said, I believe in one humanity. He said, you know, quote, I believe in one humanity. So humanity is one, and there cannot be any others. We should not see anybody as other than ourselves. This is the approach they're taking, and don't, you know, we must not think that they can't accomplish it, because they can. It takes a tremendous, not only a fight back, but intelligent fight, so that we know, you know, understanding what they're doing and how they're going to get around, you know, I guess in football language or something, do an end run or something, and anyway, get around what we're putting up, and then they score a touchdown. So. But they say that nobody is immune from being targeted online, and hate speech can harden low self-esteem. They go through all this stuff. And finally, they say there is a role for internet users, for internet companies, and for educators. So you know where they're going and who they're after. Internet web hosting companies, which we've already, some of us have had experiences with that. And everything to do with the internet to stomp down, put down anybody who's doing things the Jews don't like, and the and educators, and we know how what the educators are like today. They're all on their side, so that's what they emphasize there. And they say they want an interdisciplinary approach, you know, to implementing the task force's recommendation. Well, this is their recommendations. This task force is their task force, their book, you know, viral hate on the internet, their recommendations, and this is what they're pushing for as being something kind of official and international and governmental and what have you. Now, they also say that their interparliamentary coalition for combating anti-Semitism is an organization comprised of parliamentarians from around the world willing to combat a resurgent global anti-Semitism. And, you know, there's two words there that are really important. And one I already brought up as parliamentarians, that's lawmakers. They want to get these lawmakers as part of their, and in every country, there are Jewish lawmakers, unfortunately. Everywhere there's been some Jews elected to the legislatures, and they get them first, and then they work on others, on the non-Jews. And that's what they're trying to do, because they want to make all these laws, and we have to remember that. It's hard to get rid of laws once they pass them, unless you have a total change of regime. And the other word is resurgent. You know, they're talking now, they're calling it that there's resurgent global anti-Semitism. I mean, they play up these stories week after week. They're talking about anti-Semitism is on the rise. They're taking polls. They're showing the results of it. Oh, it's just terrible. And you know what? Why they call it that is because they say that there used to be terrible anti-Semitism in the world. But since World War II, you know, we supposedly stomped it out. Well, we stomped out the Nazis and the racial thinking and so on. But now it's coming back, and so it's really serious. My God, we got to start, you know, we got to pass some laws against it real quick before it takes over. Now, this is the approach they're taking. Everybody needs to be aware of it and on alert for it and see whatever they can do about it. Now, I'll just mention, I shouldn't go on with this too long. I'll run out of my time. But, you know, a couple of little things here. The mayor of Budapest had to order at the insistence of the Jews. You know, his city government had considered this request by the Jews not to name this street after an author that they considered to be anti-Semitic. And so, but the city hall rejected that and went ahead and named the street after the author. This is a female novelist from the 1920s and 30s, between the wars. Between the two world wars, and she was, she said she was fascist, and but she's one of their greatest novelists, and so they named the street after her. Well, the Jews are just raising a fit, so now the Jews kept after it. So now they forced the mayor to say, well, they're going to, you know, look at it one more time and redebate the issue and see what happens. Hopefully, the decision will still stand, but. This is how they do. They never give up. And they're upset about Croatia. They're trying to build up the idea of Croatia being having to deal with its Holocaust from World War II against Jews and Serbs. And, you know, Croatia is going to become a part of the EU on the 28th member state of the EU. On July 1st, 1 month from today, Croatia will be a part of the EU. And now but the Jews are saying they haven't done enough admit what the terrible things they did during World War II, of course. And, they say that 30,000 Jews were, murdered by the Ustasha, which was associated with, the Third Reich and the Wehrmacht, and 75% of the country's pre-war Jewish community was murdered. Do you believe that? Of course. We don't believe that, because they always usually exaggerate by about 10 times. But they say, then they say the 2 million Serbs then living in Croatia were the primary targets of Pavelić and his Quislings. And so, you know, they want to keep talking about this and make Croatia do something about it and admit it and apologize and whatever else, probably pay a lot of reparations and so on. And but the Jews especially hate the Croats because they were allies of the Third Reich, and the Serbs were not. The Serbs were allies of the Allies. So, Tito. Serbs were on the side of Tito. And not talk about a murderer. So this is what's going on, and this is kind of the background of my program today, especially the first and major part of it. I may not ever get to the second part. But what I'm going to start out by talking about a new website, kind of new, certainly new to me, which is called DestroyZionism.com. And it's basically a reposting. What goes on there is basically, as I can see, a reposting of selected anti-Jewish news from all over the internet. And there's a few Well, I actually only found last night in trying to take a look through the whole thing, but it's not all that well organized. And then there's lots of posts. You have to go through every one, you know, page after page. And I got tired of doing that. But I only found two actual articles written by the person that does the posting there, who calls himself Stryker's Ghost, referring to Julius Stryker, the publisher of Der Stürmer newspaper in National Socialist Germany. And, of course, Stryker was one of the most hated of the National Socialists, most hated by the Jews because of his paper, which was which showed a lot of stereotypical images of Jews, and did a whole lot of things like that. It was very, very openly anti-Jewish, and some people thought it was bad for the regime, and other people didn't. And anyway, I did a Saturday afternoon program on Julius Stryker on February 23rd this year. And so if you missed that or would like to listen to it again, you can go back in the Saturday afternoon archives and find it on February 23rd. Now, this posting, as I said, that it's basically the posting of the news. So it's kind of a site that, I'll just say first, it seems to me totally anonymous. And this person, Stryker's Ghost, that does the posting and responds to comments and so on in the comment section, is said to live in Sweden. I could find out that much about him. And he does seem to post things from Sweden and talk about Sweden fairly often. And I guess that could be the reason for the anonymity, that, you know, it's dangerous for him being in Sweden. But the other thing is that, now by not saying it right away, I lost my train of thought there. This person, I guess I said it. Anonymity on the internet there's reasons for it, but it can also mean not having to take responsibility for your words or your behavior. And in the last couple of days, I just had an experience with this website, which left me rather frustrated. I probably frustrated him too, but I'm also frustrated. And I have posted a blog at the White Network. I just put it together last night about this, titled it Destroy Zionism, meaning the website. I maybe should have made it .com, but I didn't. Destroy Zionism on Tanstoffel with comments. And it's what it is I did this to put it on the record because I had written some comments there and they were published for a few hours. And I ended up writing four, but it wasn't over just a few hours. I mean, it was over maybe overnight and the next day. I went back. I'm not sure. But it was only a couple of days ago this happened. And the 30th, basically, mostly. And I did that because, but then my comments were all removed because the host didn't like what I was saying and didn't want to answer them and my questions, and thought probably I didn't have any business saying what I was saying. Probably that's what he thought, but I'm going to go over that. I had made copies of my comments, and I put them as best I could into the blog, along with all the comments that are still there and where they fit and so on. And I want you to know that I did all this on my own without consulting Tan. It wasn't like I said, well, I think I'll do something, but okay, all right. The relationship between Tanstoffel and I is that he has never criticized me or told me that, you know, anything I did in a program, even if it resulted in some people being unhappy with it or whatever, having any consequences. Never told me that, you know, criticized me and said, oh, why are you doing that? I do whatever I want. He does what he wants. And so, you know, I didn't think I should bring him into it, and I just decided to do it kind of yesterday, and I managed to put all that together last night, and this morning I sent out my my mailer. So that's how this came about. But you know, in the meantime, I'm finding out a little more and a little more, although I found out some things that kind of bothered me and gave me some questions yesterday and last night, and now this morning a few more. I'm not trying to make accusations toward anyone, but I think it's worthwhile bringing some things up. So I'm going to see before I'm going to go through that essay and comment on it, and also the comments. It's going to take a little while, so I'm going to do that. Before I do that, and this well, you can find that I put it in a blog so that people who were listening to the program could see what I was talking about. So you can go there. It's on the front page. And I want to, well, I was going to apologize for having, when you go to the White Network, we have a slider on the front page, which goes through about six or seven of our most recent programs or blog. And on this one, I didn't have any photograph for it. But the slider put in the first photo that was on the, in the blog, which is in the comments, which is the first person who commented, which ends up being this person that goes by the name of Consul, K-O-N-S-L. And I didn't mean to put his face there. I just saw it a couple hours before the program, and I was trying to figure out how I could remove it because I didn't mean to put his picture there. But it's the way the system sets things up, you know. I guess it just, it's not even in our library, media library, the system somehow went and grabbed the first picture that showed up in the blog and put it there. But then I found out, you know, there are some connections with him, with this website, in my mind. So I thought, well, it's okay if his picture's there. I'll leave it there because I'm going to explain a few things here as I go along. So that might not be so wrong after all. Now, this website, I just want to tell you, has been in operation only about 5 months since first post, as I could find, was December 24th, 2012. So that's why I call it new. And it's kind of similar to this. This brings in the console business, kind of similar to another site called crushzion.console.org, K-O-N-S-L. That's the console that I, that was in the, making, writing comments to this, on Destroy Zionism, to the Tan Staffel article. And this, I recognized this website as formerly being Jewish Problem. And I'm sure it is the same person who did Jewish Problem doing this, although the name was changed. Because this was one of, as far as I know, the best I could find out, one of Mike Delaney's websites, along with Zion Crime Factory, that he was sponsoring. And he had them on his server and all that, and there was a fallout, particularly with CCF. And so, but Mike gave these people their content. He said he did, and he obviously did, because this content for this Crush Zion website is still there, and it's definitely what used to be formerly Jewish Problem. And it is sponsored by Consul, this fellow. And Consul has a website of his own, something about Consul's blog or the blog of Consul. And at the bottom of Crush Zion, if you go to crushzion.konsl.org, you go to the bottom of the first page there, you'll see that it says something about sponsored by Consul. And if you click on that, you will go to a kind of difficult pathway, but to Consul's blog. I keep forgetting the URL for it, and whatever I put in there doesn't go to it. So it's a little bit difficult to get to. But he's a person that's been around for a while, and I've seen that picture of him, you know, quite a few times. So I think that's who he legitimately is. And the thing is that Crush Zion is so similar to Destroy Zionism. And they seem to be friends, Consul and Stryker's Ghost. And then there, and then on Crush Zion, formerly Jewish Problem, it says on there, follow Destroy Zionism on Twitter. So they're recommending, Destroy Zionism on Crush Zion. So I just, you know, came to the conclusion that there's, these people are connected. In what way, I don't know, you know, friends on the same wavelength or, you know, supporting one another, what have you. But this is just kind of an important background, I think. So I believe now I will, it's 1:30, and be, rather than going on any more about it, I'll just go to the White Network and see that and read this. Got it right here. This is, well, I write on here, I write a little intro here that, I guess I'll read that too. What the heck? May 31st, 2013, titled Destroy Zionism on Tanstoffel, in quotes, with comments. The following short essay on Tanstoffel was posted by Stryker's Ghost at an anonymous website called Destroy Zionism on May 27th. Well, okay, this part I can read too. My attention was drawn to it on, I think, May 30th, if it wasn't the night of May 29th, by Tan. Over, he just sent me the link to it, and I looked at it. No comments from him. I think he made a couple of comments back and forth, and he said he was going to bed, and I said, well, I'm going to read this, and that was it. So I decided, after I read it all over, and I read the comments, I decided to answer a comment to it made by Carl Rattle. And Carl Rattle, I put in quotes because I want you to know that Carl, that this person's, this is a well-known person on the internet. He has a website called Semitic Controversies. And I've talked about it before. And I think used some of it when I was talking about the protocols or maybe it was not the protocols, but the blood libels that the Jews complain about. But anyway, he also posts on VNN forum. And, you know, for a long time I thought that was his name, but I learned actually from Hadding that that Carl Rattle is a fairly well-known name. He was the adjutant for Otto Skorzeny in World War II. And he was in the SS, and he wasn't real big, but, you know, he's a known entity. Well, this person who does Semitic Controversies has taken that as his pseudonym. That's a pseudonym for him. So anyway, after I wrote that comment to Carl Rattle for what he had said about me, for no good reason, and then I did a little further inspection of the site. And so I ended up writing four comments, three of which were published, but only temporarily. And before or during the time I wrote the fourth one, in answer to another commenter named Consul, that's the guy I've been talking about all this time, all my comments were removed by Stryker's Ghost. And in their place was his comment, Carolyn Yeager, go fuck yourself. And by the way, this was the same thing he said to Ron Paul. I found as I was going through the site last night trying to see if I, you know, if there's anything there I should really know or, you know, that would be different from what I had already seen, there was a blog post on, it's a news post, you know, a post picking up something about Ron Paul. And his only comment to that was, Ron Paul, go fuck yourself. So I said, oh, it's the same thing you said to me. So this, the removal of my comments without any, you know, he could have removed the one he didn't like, but he didn't have to remove all of them, but he did. And this made me mad, or irritated, you know, and there was also that I thought I made some important points, or I thought were important, and, that I had just started to make, and maybe he realized that I was just beginning. So, he put an end to it right there. So, but these are things that I'd have to conclude that Stryker's Ghost did not want to have to deal with. So that's when I decided I'm going to reproduce this. I thought I might do it on my website. Then I realized it's better to do it at the White Network. and also talk about it. And so I followed through, and here I am now doing so. So this article about Tan Stoffel was posted on May 27th by Stryker's Ghost, and that was Monday. That was a day of, that was our birthday, our White Network birthday, and the day of the Heretics Hour program with the three of us that so many people have written nice things to us about. And so he writes, Tan Stoffel, in quotes, because it is a pseudonym, runs the blog site Age of Treason and often writes reasonable and thoughtful posts. Well, you know, I'm not going to read it from here because I've got my notes over here. So, what am I doing here? All right. He also runs a radio show on the White Network, which is why I am writing this. On his site, he writes that my ultimate goal is a Jew-free white ethno-state. In North America. Excuse me, I was changing another page. A Jew-free white ethno-state sounds good, but it also sounds odd. Excuse me. When you consider that he has admitted that his wife and children are Jewish. He writes, meaning Tan, he writes, my wife's father was an Ashkenazi Jew. My wife, space there. My wife was not raised as a Jew, though she is, of course, genetically one-half Ashkenazi, and thus our children are, on average, genetically one-fourth Ashkenazi, unquote. So that was a quote from Tan that he found. Now he says, now, a person is often genetically only one-half or even one-fourth Jewish and still classified as Jewish under Jewish law. So he's talking about Jewish law. You know, I mean, are we concerned with Jewish law? Well, only in the area that whether the Jews would welcome that person into their midst, really, or into their land, or whatever is what it is. But he says that that under Jewish law, if you're one half or you're one fourth Jewish, you're still Jewish. Okay. What matters traditionally, though, he says, is having a Jewish mother, and thus a person can be 100% Jewish under Jewish law with rights to immigrate to Israel and everything while only having one-half or one-fourth Jewish ancestry. Yes, if it's your mother, is what he just said. If it's your mother, was the Jew that you, in your family. But then he says, and this is the important sentence, modern streams of Judaism are sometimes less restrictive, classifying persons with Jewish fathers as Jews. Well, okay. All right. So some modern ones don't care if it's your mother or your father. But he says Tan Stoffel's wife has a Jewish father and thus is 100% Jewish in the eyes of many modern Jews. I think that's, you know, you have to wonder why he's writing that way. You know, I don't care, and I know Tan doesn't care, because this has been talked about quite a bit already, that they're talking about his wife being part Jewish, and his kids, therefore, also part Jewish. But he wants to make it. This is not good logic. What he's saying is okay, but then he wants to jump to a false conclusion that that if a woman has a Jewish father, she is then 100% Jewish in the eyes of many modern Jews. Well, how many is that? How many? And, you know, what does that really mean? Does that mean anything to us? Because some modern Jews would not distinguish between a father and a mother. So, you know, I really don't care how Jews look at it. I care how we ourselves look at it. The National Socialists, I think this is real important, had a policy in the Third Reich. Excuse me. I ate not too long ago. these people, like this site, does not say I'm a National Socialist, but it's very National Socialist friendly. However, it's more friendly probably to some other forms of nationalism. And mostly, I'm going to get into this, but mostly it's anti-Jew, more than pro anything. More than pro anything, it's anti-Jew. But let's go on here. He says, I'm saying this. The policy in the Third Reich was that, well, first I say, even if a half Jew was married to a German, and even if they had children, especially, they were safe from deportation, based, I would think, on the idea that one was unlikely to do any anti-German harm, that one was unlikely. If they're married to a German and their children are part German, but this website operator, who seems to be kind of National Socialist, has said differently. I'm saying things ahead of time, and then I'm reading what I wrote. Okay, but the National Socialist rule was that a Jew, to be a Jew, you had three or four Jewish grandparents. Two Jewish grandparents made you a mischling, or that's a German word for a person of mixed blood. So of course, Tan's wife has two Jewish grandparents, so she would be considered a person of mixed blood, not a Jew. But Stryker's ghost keeps calling her, insisting that she's a Jew, and also that the children who are have one Jewish grandparent, are Jews, you know. So although they have three white grandparents. So this is, they're not following, even though he calls himself Stryker's ghost, and Stryker was a very loyal follower of Adolf Hitler and National Socialism, however it went. But they're not following that here at this website. I just wanted to point that out. That there's difference between calling somebody a Jew and calling somebody of mixed blood. Nobody should think that, because I've got a long record. So nobody should think that I'm trying to make excuses and make a place for Jews. But there's a difference, and we should use our terminology properly, because the Germans, in making up these rules, were concerned with German blood. They didn't want to throw out a whole bunch of German blood because it had some Jew mixed with it. So they made these kinds of things, so that these kinds of rules, so that, you know, they were, the Reich was protected, but still functioning orderly without such huge and severe restrictions. But I understand that these people on these websites, all of them, are so anti-Jewish that they make out Jews to be biological monsters who are all, you know, any little bit of Jew in you makes you somebody who's going to be disloyal and who's going to, can't be trusted, and is going to bring about problems. So they go to that extreme. I would have to say that I don't go to such an extreme, because I'm also concerned with, I also see the white blood in people, you know. And more about the Reich. The Reich citizenship law was passed at the same time as the as this racial law, and was reinforced in November by a decree stating that all Jews, even quarter and half Jews, were no longer citizens of their own country. Their official title became subjects of the state. This meant that they are deprived of basic citizens' rights, such as the right to vote. Well, big deal, you know. That's not such a big deal, really, I don't think. But don't forget, and let's not forget that when he's writing this blog about Tan Stoppel, he's talking about Tan Stoppel's wife, not Tan Stoppel. But you'd think, you know, from the way he does it, that somehow this, because they also take the position that if anyone, he said, if anyone, somewhere it was said that if anyone is married, but, or even is friendly, or even has friends who are Jewish, their loyalty is questionable. So, you know, I want to make the point again here that he's not, if he lives in Sweden, and I can kind of tell from the way he writes everything that he's not an American. And Europeans consistently apply what's going on in Europe to the United States, and they don't really understand the United States and Americans very well. And so, you know, he shouldn't be trying to tell us Americans what kind of ethnostate we should have. I think he should be trying to take care of the ethnostate in Sweden or in Europe as a whole, right, before he worries about Americans, what's going on in America. But anyway, going on with the essay, Stryker's Go says, regardless, a person with a Jewish parent is not white, i.e. a fully European ancestry. So he is saying you have to be considered white. You have to have fully European ancestry. And Tan Stoffel might as well have married a mulatto, he says. I wouldn't, well, I guess somebody would compare it that way. His wife is as European as Barack Obama, he says. That's a nice comparison, isn't it? Thus, Tan Stoffel is a race mixer. That is, as far as I know, not merely in the past either. Oh, I don't know what that means. He says, as far as I know, he's a race mixer, not merely in the past either. I guess he means that he's still living with his wife and has his children, so that means it's in the present. He's still mixing with them. You know, I brought up to him in a comment, which he didn't answer very well, and I'm going to bring it up now before I go on with this, that, you know, does he or do people who agree with him consider John Friend to be a race mixer? Well, sure, John Friend is a race mixer, but John Friend seems to be a friend of ghosts, the ghost guy. See? Anyway, Stryker's ghost. So go figure, you know, because if John Friend race mixed with an Asian woman and had a half Asian daughter, who this Stryker's ghost would have to consider Asian, she's just Asian, and he has one half custody of this daughter, and she spends, you know, a lot of time with him, and he said he refuses to talk about it. I would never give John Friend a hard time about it, but the reason I bring it up is because he has John Friend's blog featured on his Destroy Zionism front page. He's got a area called links on another page, and he has a whole bunch of links, but on the front page, he has what he calls selected sites, and there's about six, maybe seven of them, and John Friend's blog is one of them. And so I asked him about that, but we'll get to that. But he doesn't, you know, it's kind of a hypocritical or confused picture he's presenting here. So going on with Stryker's ghost in the essay, naturally, this might lead to problems with loyalty. I like that he uses the word might. You know, this might lead to problems with loyalty. Okay. Strangely, he wrote that he wants a Jew-free white ethnostate. But in another post in the comments section, he is asked, it seems that you believe in a white ethnostate defined by blood. So that means you do favor deporting your wife and children. So I guess one of the posts on Tan's blog, ageoftreason.blogspot.com, or is it just Age of Treason? Forget. Anyway, he says, somebody asked him about that, because when he made his personal disclosure, it was in, I believe it was in January, I looked it up, January 2010, which would have been before I ever knew him, because it was in 2010 that we came in contact over our mutual suspicions about Gordon Duff. And that was later, though, wasn't in January. So I heard about this later. Anyway, when Tan Stoffel was asked, do you favor deporting your wife and children? He answered no in this little exchange. And he is then asked, where is your loyalty, to your race or to your wife and children? And he answers, to myself, my immediate family, my extended family, nation, race, species, life, the universe, and everything else in that order. Now, he was probably answering, he may not have thought he was being grilled about this in this way, I don't know. I didn't see the whole exchange at all, just what he's got written here. But, you know, he's saying that kind of what everybody's is. You have your loyal, your self-preservation and your family, your extended family and all of that, and your nation. But SG is picking out what he wants to pick out to fit this critique. But I'm not going to fault him for that, because I have done and would probably do the same myself if I thought it was important to do so. And I'm wondering why he thinks it's important, though, to write this about Tanstoffel, when I've never seen him write anything like this about anybody else. Except he did have, right on the same day, the other post that he wrote himself, which is about some Italian guy. But it wasn't of the same nature as this, I don't think. So Stryker's Ghost says, this is one of the problems with race mixing. It creates problems with loyalty. So he's saying that Tan answered that his loyalty, that he didn't favor deporting his wife and children, and his loyalty was first to himself, then his family, and after that his nation and race. And so therefore, you know, this is a problem with loyalty for Tan, because he's putting his family before his race, and being in a mixed race family, you know, blah blah. So the natural thing, he said, is to put your family first. And he admits that he puts the interests of his racially mixed family over the interests of his race and nation should a conflict arise. Now, you know, I don't know when this question and answer thing was done, but you know, did he want to write to Tan and ask him what he, you know, what his answers would be to this? No, he just used this thing that he found, which was useful to his particular argument. And then he ends up by saying, why is it that so many prominent characters in this movement are either Jews or race mixers? And I found that really strange. Who's he speaking about? Where are the so many prominent characters that are Jews or race mixers? And how can we know how to put, what value to put on those words by him, since we know absolutely nothing about him? He's in total hiding, you know. He is a complete unknown. It may be that if people write to him on his contact form, that he would reveal something, but I can't imagine that he would, unless he already knows these people. Well, there's some people he knows. So he's upset about Jews in the movement, and he talks about race mixers, but he's not upset with John Friend. And even though I brought that up in the comments, he still has not changed that listing that he's got. And he's also, well, I bring this up in the comments. So, all right, I'm going to even go over these comments. These comments, Consul says, you know, I had no clue about this up to when I read this here on your site. On the White Network, it says, so he didn't know anything about Tan. He doesn't probably know much about the White Network. He says that on the White Network, it says, Jews are not white. They are obsessed with their own group's best interests, not ours. Yet they allow this, Consul then says, yet they allow this questionable individual to have a radio program there? I thought that was kind of funny, because obviously he doesn't know much about it. Tan created the radio network, so he's not just somebody who has a program there. But Consul says, I'm admittedly not very well versed in the nationalist arena. Well, if he's not well versed in the nationalist arena, what is he well versed in? I have heard of him in the past, and I think I've gotten a few emails or maybe comments or something from him. Seemed like a regular, you know, regular white nationalist type of guy. But he says he's not. And when I look at his website, I don't know, I'm just wondering. I don't have a very good grasp of him, but he, I'll leave that. He says, at least not in the international one. I wonder what national one he's into, or what he's into. So excuse me if I err in my comment. He is a little bit polite. He says, however, if this is true, I'd say that one ought to stay far away from him. The only good thing a Jew or a fraternizer of Jews can do for us is to stay far away. Let us mind our own business. Well, that's, you know, a sweeping generalization, but which he might not apply to Tanstoffel if he knew more about him. But he is, anyway. And he said, I think it's called something like, let's see, yeah, now I remember it, the right to self-determination, a right granted to every other people in the world, but which is disregarded whenever any people of European descent asserts it. The Jews will tell us that it leads straight to the gas chambers at Auschwitz. Yep. Well, you know, I mean, this is typical. It's kind of a comment made about this without really knowing anything, you know, just making kind of overall statements and blah, blah. So, well, gosh, I'm at the 60-second point already. So Bloody Wolf then makes a comment. He doesn't say much of anything either. And that's Bloody Wolf 14. And then Stryker's Ghost responds and writes, yeah, the White Network wrote this yesterday. And he reads from what I wrote on the program post about how we are strictly white and have this whites only policy and so on. And he comments, strictly enforced whites only policy, huh? Apparently it is okay to have a Jewish wife and children. All right. Well, he's got an attitude for sure. But now I answered this, but I'm not sure if this is a place where I think I answered here. But anyway, I'm going on when we get back from the break to the next comment. So ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager on Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. It is June 1st, 2013, and I am dealing with a rather difficult subject here, but I'm glad I'm doing it. And I'm talking about the essay about Tan Stoffel written by Stryker's Ghost from Destroy Zionism website that I put on the White Network as a blog. And I've read through it, and I've just got maybe 15 minutes more with the comments and come to my conclusions about all this. So let's see how it goes, and then I will ask for phone calls after I finish if anybody wants to call in about it. I'll take your call. I was just saying that Stryker's Ghost was himself saying that he considers that Tan, I guess, is not really white because his wife is only half white and half Jewish, and his children are one quarter Jewish. So that means that our policy at the White Network of whites only is doesn't make any sense to him. So the next comment is by Consul again. It's a funny name, K-O-N-S-L. And he brought up a comment from Tan's blog at Age of Treason, and he said about it, he brought up Tan's blog in the first article that's on there presently about Sweden. And he looks like he could be Scandinavian too. In this picture, I don't know if this is a picture. It's an avatar he uses. I don't know if it's actually him or somebody else. Could be somebody else. But there is a Scandinavian look to it, in my mind, basically. So he says, Tan and his friends on Tan's blog say more or less, that one shouldn't attach any weight to the fact that he's married to a Jew. Again, you know, she's always a Jew. And produced rascals with it. I think he uses that word again. He calls having children producing rascals. I don't know if it's all children or just Tan's children, but, and then he says, And then Stryker's Ghost comes back and says, I think it's amazing that European white nationalists listen to him. European / you know, white nationalists. So I guess, all right, same thing, European white nationalists. I don't think he means just people in Europe. I think he means anybody who's of European descent. But anyway, that's what he said. And he says, considering that he, Tan, admits that he has more loyalty to his Jewish family than to his nation and would oppose deporting them. Well, he's still trying to make that point. And then Carl Rattle, who I talked about, comes on, you know, and he says, I did ask him, his apologist, something along the lines of why, if he was as dedicated to the anti-Jewish cause as he says, he would stay with a woman whose father was a Jew when all this blew up originally. And then he puts in parentheses, leading to Yeager and Hadding attacking me personally, as I suggested, but then retracted that Yeager had something to do with CI. Well, you know, this made me mad because I know that Carl Rattle doesn't tell things the way they were. He was insisting on one thing. It may have been the CI business about me. He was insisting on being informed that this is what he learned about this, and he has a wonderful memory. His memory is never wrong, and he insisted on something, and he turned out to be wrong. And it was, I can't say it was about me. I may have maybe two different instances here, but I remember that. But also I remember when he was talking about me being CI, and so I wanted to write back about this, but you know, this is so totally false because he says, when all this blew up, when all this blew up about Tan and his wife, when I looked back, his personal disclosure was in January 2010. And, you know, as I already said, I didn't know him then. And, so when, And when Carl Rattle was mouthing off on BNN Forum about me, about Carolyn Yeager being Christian Identity, it was sometime, and, you know, therefore a nutcase and so on, the way he put it, it was sometime last year in 2012. So one thing did not lead to the other. But he says, you know, that this thing about Tan led to me and Hadding attacking him. I didn't know anything about his conversation or his writing about Tan, and didn't have anything to do with Hadding and I not having a good opinion of him. But I certainly didn't go on. I'll have that in my own comment. Okay. So, well, I already talked about Rattle and who he really is and isn't, and using that name that belongs to somebody else. So Rattle says, I don't recall receiving an answer other than he loves said Jewess and, quote, understands, unquote, why people won't accept him. Then he says, personally, I think it reflects more on Yeager and Hadding. He's got it out for Yeager and Hadding. And notice he uses Hadding's first name and my last name. That's a sign of disrespect toward me. But and just toward women in general. He's one of those women haters. At least he acts like he is one on VNN. Personally, I think it reflects more on Yeager and Hadding than Tan. He says I could at least understand a little bit if he felt responsible for the children of his error and vowed never to sleep with his wife again. Can you imagine? If you ask me, I guess that's what he would do, huh? Why would any individual who claims to be NS, I guess that's Hadding and maybe me, but collaborate with a race mixer, and more pointedly, someone who race mixes with a Jewess and openly admits it? I guess he thinks Tan should not have admitted it. Tan admitted it after he became Jew-wise and was writing about Jews for a while, and he was feeling guilty because he's a real white man, and he was feeling like, you know, he knew he had this thing that people didn't know about, and now, you know, his views had changed to be anti-Jewish, and he finally decided he had to admit it, and he put it out there, and he did his personal disclosure, which most people don't do. I'll say that. This is some stuff about Rattle. I'm going to skip that. And then Rattle ends up his thing that, you know, anybody who was NS shouldn't collaborate with Race Mixer. And ends up bleh. He uses that a lot. B-L-E-H, like, ugh, yuck. Then Stryker's ghost answers Rattle. And says, somehow I doubt they would accept a person who's married to a mulatto, they being, I guess, the white network. Well, maybe they would. Amarin accepts the speaker, John Derbyshire, who is married to and has children with an Asian, a truly pathetic sight. Well, you see, now I found this. This is why I brought up John Friend, because, you know, he is saying here that an Asian is the same thing for him. And Derbyshire is, goes around with his Asian wife and kids. But, what about John Friend, who has an Asian child who lives with him, part of the time? And he loves her. He's not going to separate from her. And because of that, he still has associations with her mother. I don't know what his deal is. You know, I don't know. But the fact is that this guy, Stryker's ghost, wants to be special friends with John Friend. He must be, or he wouldn't have his blog on his front page under selected sites, because it's not that great of a blog, although he might think so. But that's where it is, with only a few others there. And he doesn't want to talk about that. So Stryker says, I'm posting this because we need to be aware of those who are related to Jews and those who are part Jews. Well, we should be aware of it. I agree. And even those who have Jewish acquaintances, because they are compromised. All right? There's an awful lot of people who say they have Jewish acquaintances. An awful lot. Ingrid Rimlin said just recently in a comment that she wrote about the Alan Hart article at VT. I've only looked at VT a few times in recent week because of this other subject I'm going to talk about. But I did see that, and she made the point one more time that she even has some Jewish friends. Not many, she says, but a few. So I guess she is totally compromised. But I imagine, and even Ernst Sundel has said that. So Ernst Sundel would be compromised, according to this guy. But I bet he doesn't see it that way. Because he doesn't know what's going on, and he doesn't apply, you know. If he knew what it was going on with everybody, he could say things like that. But he doesn't. He's making these, what he wants to see as uncompromising rules and behaviors that we should follow, without caring how many people that he would be associating with that wouldn't follow him. But he's not going to do anything about that. So he's saying that these people are impossible to fully trust because of the potential conflicting loyalties. So even if you have friends or acquaintances that are Jewish, you have a potential conflicting loyalty. We also know that Jews are masters at infiltration and deception. Well, we do know all that. And we do know about conflicting loyalties. And, but you know, how are you going to, if you apply that to everyone, and you can't, how can that be applied to him? Because nobody, he doesn't let anybody know anything about him. I admire more the people who, expose more about themselves and, speak up and do what they do than people who hide like him. And I don't know anybody who hides as much and who is completely shielded as he is from any knowledge of who he is. So that puts a question right there, that you can be suspicious of somebody. We should know by now, after hundreds, even thousands of years, to rather be too careful than underestimate them. Okay, yeah. They need to be excluded, eliminated from all contexts. Okay. Who is he? Who's going to do this? Who is he? He's not stepping forward to be the person to do it first. It is like with persons infected by a dangerous disease. We used to put carriers of leprosy in special places. All right, there's nothing wrong with any what he's saying here, but except that he's not someone who is doing anything about it, except having a website that he is reposting articles about anti-Jewish kind of articles. And so then he ends up by saying, this all makes me especially sad because as far as I can tell, Tan Stoffel has the right ideas. He writes in the way one should, in an offensive rather than defensive manner. He attacks dangerous people like Oster. I don't know what I would have done in a situation like Tan Stoffel's. Well, now he seems to be talking more real, and he sounds a little bit, he's trying to maybe mend some bridges or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, then counsel says Tan Stoffel should have learned from William Forrest, or my Jewish girlfriend. Sorry to make light of this. In any case, I hope that people who I admire to some extent, like Carolyn Yeager, gee, thanks, is cautious in her dealings with him. Well, you know, as I point out, there's a lot of errors in his writing. Of course, a lot of people make them, especially when they're writing comments. But I wonder, you know, if he is, I have to ask, because they ask all these questions. I wonder if he's not white, if he's just not American, just not an English, native English speaker. I'm not sure. But then Tan Stoffel wrote a couple of comments, and the main one was that he said, you have misconstrued my attitude regarding exclusion and deportation. I support the creation of white ethnostates, which exclude anyone with even partial Jewish genetics. Well, I have certainly heard him say that many times. Thus, I support those like myself or my family being excluded. He has said that many times. He says, this is exactly because I recognize the loyalty problem and do not place the best interests of my family above my race or nation. Whereas it was taken from that so-called question-answer thing that he did. But, you know, that was, you need to look further when you see something like that, because he could have left something out from that interview, or he may have not understood what the question, you know, might not have been quite what they what it's presented as being. So Tan says that no such ethnostate currently exists, but my family would not have to be deported. If one formed where we lived, we would leave. The point is that Tan has always made is that he would go with, he will go with his family. He will stay with his family. And if they can't be in the white ethnostate that he is working toward, that's all right. He, you know, he won't be in it. He's not working for it for himself or for them necessarily. He's working for it for his race. So in that sense, he puts his race first and his nation. You know, and you have to do the best you can do when you find yourself in a situation like he is in. And I will say, his wife, who I have never met and I've never even spoken directly to her, is, in my opinion, what she has, what she tolerates with all this abuse, and him writing the way he does about Jews and so on. She's a terrific woman. She's a terrific wife to him. And I know his children are being brought up as white kids and totally pro-white, and his wife is pro-white and she agrees with him and she's, you know, she's on that side. And I know he wouldn't say that to me if it wasn't true. So, cause I feel sorry for you. You know, I've said at times, you know, I feel bad for your wife, you know, having to be castigated like she is. And he says, no, no, she's okay. She's, yeah, it was hard. It's been hard. Yeah, but she's come to terms with it and she agrees, you know, she agrees with it and she's all for, the, you know, the white. So that's the way that is, whether you think that's very important or not. But, I just added that. So Stryker's Ghost, thanks Tan for that clarification. He's kind of cold. He says, I see. Thank you for the clarification. He's not going to change his opinions any, I guess. And Tan then says, actually, I do regard it as important. That's why I disclosed it. And then, what's stuck in there is, what I had written, not the one to Rattle, but another one to Stryker's Ghost. And he had that in there. Let's see, where is that? That's why I have to go. Yeah, that's why I had to be looking at the post here on the White Network, because that's where I got mine stuck in there. Oh, I even passed it by because I didn't have it. Let me, now it's stuck. Here it comes down. After Rattle, well, I did read that. I had that one. Oh yeah, I didn't read it all though. I talked about it. I talked about it, but I didn't read it. But it's there on the post. And I says, you know, I don't recall where Hadding and I, how he knows that Hadding and I were attacking him. Because Hadding would have maybe done it at BNN. I don't know, was attacking him, but, you know, he calls it attacking. Then I said, I wrote there in my comment that it was, I thought it was incorrect to call Tan Staffel a race mixer like they were doing. Because he and his wife met in college, long before any Jew wiseness occurred to him, because he's not in his 20s. And I'm not going to, I think he said how old he was at one point, but, you know, he's a, you know, he's a good age, not a kid. And, here's, and I said his, I thought, I got the number 3 mixed up with some other 3 thing. Obviously for a long time and got it in my head that she was 3 years old when her father died. But, I was just corrected, that, by him that it was, she was 10 years old. So, she would remember her father. I said she barely remembered her father. That's what I thought, but, she does, she would remember him and, she remembered him as a nice man. She doesn't and never did consider herself Jewish though, because she wasn't, her mother wasn't Jewish. Her father wasn't religious or anything. But, she knew she was because, even after her father died, she has these, grandparents and they want to see her and aunts and uncles and so on. And they all wanted to keep in contact with her. And they are, you know, they did. And, just, you know, to some degree. And, so she knows, you know, that side of the family. But, So I say, you know, I already talked about all this. Okay. And then I say that, that our policy at the White Network, which people seem to be misunderstanding, is, no Jews or other non-whites on the network. And, either as host guests or even commenters, Tan's wife and children are not a part of the network. But what they're saying, I guess, is that whoever he's married to is influencing him. So somehow, that influences the network. Although really it doesn't at all. So after that, okay. Well, I talked about that one. And my second comment then that came after, that's what came after Stryker's ghost talking about Derbyshire's Asian wife and kids. And, so then, you know, I jumped on that and I had to write again. And I said, I had to I don't have this exactly. I had to reconstruct it, but it was basically very much like this. I have never been to this website before. Are you only against Zionism or more than that? Because I did question why it was against Zionism when reading it. He's so much against Jews. then I said, speaking of race mixing, are you aware that John Friend? I asked him about the John Friend thing. And people who live in glass houses should not throw stones. And he replied to me, yes, I'm aware of that. And then about the, is he only against Zionism or something else, or Jews too? And he says, I want all Jews and Jewish ideas removed from white countries, and that the website name could have been chosen better. And so I wrote, and then Council wrote something, which I read, and Tan wrote something, and Stryker's Ghost wrote something. And then I wrote back to Stryker's Ghost, really in response to his reply that he wants Jews removed from white countries, and he could have named his site better, and that he knew about John Friend. And so I said, I was checking around on the blog, see, and I said, I just checked when you started this blog. The first article was December 24th, 2012. You're not even 6 months old, yet you set yourself up as a decider on who's legit in white activism. It figures. Naturally, whoops, I just lost my, came back. I didn't lose anything. My screen just went black for a minute. Naturally, it wouldn't occur to you to talk to a person before you're going to write about it to get a few facts straight. Well, you know, I do that sometimes myself, but I wouldn't care if somebody wrote me and said that to me. You know, I would say, yeah, I probably should have done that, you know, but it was after this comment of mine that he decided to remove my comments. I think it was. It wasn't the fourth one. It was this one. Because I also said it also means it was only 5 months ago that you chose your name that could have been chosen better, in quotes. Are you going to own up to your mistake and rename your site? Can you clarify whether you want only Jews removed but all other non-whites can stay, like John Friend's child? I might also say you keep your identity very well hidden, which I didn't mean anything bad about that, just that it's extreme. It's extreme to me. Usually there's an about, and some people say something about themselves, you know, even if they don't tell the truth, maybe, but he doesn't have anything. So that was a breaking point for him, I guess. I was trying to point out that he's writing all this stuff about Tan Stoffel. But what about people can question him about a lot of things, you know, and is he going to answer? I read this letter, this comment by Consul next, and I'll read that next. You know, Consul says, and this I think is very strange, and I pointed that out in my reply. He said, what's wrong? He's writing to me. What's wrong with keeping one's identity a secret? He might have a lot to lose for telling the unvarnished truth as he does. That's what I think. Well, you know, I said in my comment, what unvarnished truth? All kinds of people say the same things. But I think I know where you're going with that remark, though. Well, I don't know if he knows where I was going. I don't know where I was going with it. But he says, he gives this example, that if if there's somebody I think highly of, and this person is says that they have our best interests at heart, but then he does something so absurd as to marry a Jewess and produce a couple of rascals with her, you wouldn't feel a bit eerie about this fact? You'd welcome such a person amongst your midst? I'm just curious. Now, here's where his logic or his thinking is totally bad, you know, because it's like if I met Tan and we started working together, and then, you know, he was a totally pro-white person and so on, and then he married a Jewess and said they were going to have a family of little Jews. Then I would say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You know, what are you doing? Yeah, then I'd feel pretty eerie, and I wouldn't welcome him. But this is not how it came about. As I said in my comment, which was very good, I think, and I have a little trouble making this thing move. And I said that, it's jumping all over the place now. Let me see here. Excuse me. All right. I said, no, I got to go down quite a bit. I said, it's already been explained that Tan did something absurd before he had any thoughts that it was absurd. It wasn't absurd to him when he did it. So that means it wasn't, you know, it wasn't absurd at all. You know, you have to know what you're doing to make such a, to make something an absurd mistake. So he said, I said, you know, can you not grasp that, or you just don't want to? And then I told him that Tan was one of the most honest and principled people I know, and he is. He has turned out to be absolutely reliable and dependable, and he tells you when he can't do things. He's just, there's nothing about him that he leads you astray in any way. So I said I welcome him as a friend, and I also appreciate him and our relationship together. So, but then this thing about Stalin, he says, he admitted it was an ill-advised example. I guess he means it's not a very good one, but I don't know why he used it. But, you know, he's saying if I would accept Tan after doing something absurd, which I already discussed that, he said, then Stalin could be our friend too, if he just ditched his murderous communist ideology and switched it to nationalism. Well, but he didn't. So he's making an example here, an analogy with someone who's got a totally different ideology. You'd have to change that. And then, but just because Stalin had a Jewish wife. Well, a lot of people have had a Jewish wife, but he picked Stalin to use because that must have been on his mind. I don't know. And then he has to mention that Stalin's Jewish wife had a murderer for a brother. Well, you know, what does that got to do with Tan? His wife doesn't have a murderer for a brother. You know, the whole thing, and I told him, I said, the way you've worded this is more than ridiculous. It's nuts. And I suppose that was, you know, not liked either, that I should say such a thing, but it's true. And, you know, so then I asked, do you guys have some ulterior motive? Well, this was hell for moderation, and that's when I looked back after a while and saw that my comments were gone, and then that one never got posted either. So that was that. Now, the reason that this is so of so much interest to me now, ongoing, is that I'm wondering about these people, because as what I wrote about the Jews ramping up their campaign against hate on the internet, and we have quite a lot of sites that can be seen as pure hatred against Jews. You know that. I mean, we know, and everybody listening has to know that this is true. Now, are some of these sites set up for, you know, by Jews or by the enemy in some way, in order to give credence to all this so that they can then come and decide that there's too much of this hate on the internet, too much of this anti-Semitism on the internet, and we've got to pass these laws, or we've got to pass internet laws, or whatever. Of course they would be doing that. You know that they have to be doing that. So you know a lot of this stuff is not sincere, and it's put together by Israel. Now, this site that's now called Crush Zion. I'm going to go to that. Crush Zion. Oh, here's something. Right. I was already wondering about it because I've been told and is supposedly totally known that the man who did this site when it was Jewish Problem, and I'm sure it's still the same man, it just changed the domain name, because the domain name belonged to Mike Delaney. But he gave him his content, so he's got that same artwork and everything. That this person who was doing Jewish Problem was not white. He even admitted he wasn't white. I mean, he never tried to pretend he was white like ZCF did. He's Turkish. That's what I understand. And nobody minded, because, you know, basically he's anti-Jewish. But he's not pro-white. And this is the point I'm trying to make here, that we've got these sites that are either legitimate sites that are very anti-Jewish, but they're Muslim run, or, you know, like in this case, this person's Turkish, probably is Muslim, I imagine. Turks are not my friends. I'm sorry, because of the Turks' invasion of Germany, which is a country that I care a lot about. So there's that. And now that consul is hosting this for this Turkish guy. So he obviously has no problem with Turks. And from everything I've seen and read about him now recently, he's not particularly pro-white either. They're not anti-white, maybe, but, you know, they're just basically anti-Jew. And they have some differences with National Socialism. And they have some other, you know, ways of looking at it and so on. But then today I go there this morning and I find this new posting, Jack Doodle the Jews. This is at crushzion.consul.org. Consul spelled with that zero for the O. Looks like a capital O, kind of. And so I turn on this video. And it's this black guy who said in it he's not Christian, so he's Muslim. I figured he was a black Muslim. And he's supposed to be just wonderful anti-Jewish stuff he's doing, except that he has this picture, not very far into it, of Adolf Eichmann. And he says, this man, anybody who believes that this man is a white European is just lying, or they don't know anything or whatever. This man is a Jew. Well, I'm one of those people who know that Adolf Eichmann is a white Austrian European, and he's not a Jew, even though you can find a lot of pictures of him, and that's a good one that he had, when he really looks Jewish in that picture, and where he looks Jewish, and there's a lot of people that aren't Jewish who look Jewish, and particularly Central Europeans and Germans can look that way and not be. And it's in my research, Adolf Eichmann is not Jewish, and I'm holding to that until somebody offers me some proof. And I have looked at what people have presented as saying, oh, Eichmann is a Jew, and it's just crap, ladies and gentlemen. It's not credible. There's no evidence that Eichmann is a Jew, except in people's imaginations, just like wanting to call Reinhard Heydrich a Jew. He was not Jewish either, but they get this in their heads, and this guy, who's not very smart, got it in his head, and he accepts anything that just fits in the way he would like it. So he then compares this picture of Eichmann with the movie, I need people to help me out here. Movie director who's everybody used to like so much, a little skinny guy, he compares that picture with this guy and says, these are both Jews, and you can tell they both come from the same race, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, you can do these things with pictures. And this should be known. This should be, people should know better than this. You can't just take pictures and say this person is a Jew. You can tell by looking at him. No, you can't do that. And that movie director, his name is right there, but then I keep coming up with Monty Python, but it's not that. This bothered me, you know, and this council associates and posts things like this with people like this, making them out to be, you know, this is something worth looking at. And I would say it's not very worth looking at just because it's a black man who is talking against the Jews doesn't make it, you know, doesn't make what he's saying, everything he's saying true, or doesn't make him so wonderful. Because there were some other things in there. I don't want to go over it all right now, but there were some other things that weren't so good. But that was the big one. So I'm glad I was able to say that. Now, in my notes here, I've got that by Stryker's ghost just deleting my comments. I say this is what's called controlling the message. But this bothered me. Why was he so upset with my comments? Why can he gets quite a few comments? They're all favorable, kind of friendly, or they might be a little bit questioning or something. But and he gets comments from people. I would say, all right, he's not only is he not pro-white, he's not he's anti-Christian too. And they all are. And most of the people who comment and talk on his to his blog post, they're all into this, you know, the northern Nordic heroes and the not just Odinism, but you know, the Vikings and the great, you know, the great men and the strong men fighting and the Siegfried stuff and all this. They're all into that. Very much so. And he also has on his site, let's see, I have to open it up to see it. He also has on his site his selected sites, Ancestral Cult. That's all about the, you know, the Nordic, Germanic, Northern, original religions. Hyperborea Rising, another one. Thulean Perspective, or Thulean Perspective, which I really don't like that Thulean stuff, but he's obviously into that. And following that is John Friend's blog. And then The End of Zion. I've talked to The End of Zion. He seems like a pretty nice guy. I have no problem with him. And then Total Fascism. I have no problem with Total Fascism. Winston Smith, Ministry of Truth. I have something of a problem with Winston Smith, but I know he has a huge, he has a lot of very, very strong fans who of it. But he does a lot like this site, this Destroys Zion. I mean, he just finds stuff that is about the Holocaust and old stories, you know, old newspaper articles and so on, showing what the Jews were saying back then. It's all helpful, but it doesn't. He doesn't ever write and tie everything together in the big picture. He just posts stuff that he finds. And that's the same thing that's here on this Destroy Zionism. He posts stuff that he finds. And just one thing after another. So I don't know how much trouble he could get into with this site because it's, you know, it's already been written by somebody else. It makes me wonder, because of what it is, why he decided to write that piece on Tan Stoffel. And what comes to my mind, and I could be dead wrong. It's the only thing I can come up with is what I come up with. I get these ideas. And that is that, like so many people, anti-Jewish peoples, and they don't like the white network because it talks about white. They don't like the restriction, the white restriction on it. They're not pro-white. They're anti-Jew, and they're not white themselves. Now, I don't know about this guy, this Stryker's ghost, but let me close this up again. But it's, I'm looking for my, Where did it go? Oh, yeah, get back to my SkyCon. Sorry. All right. You know, but I'm for sure that guy who does Crush Zion, that seems to be very associated with Destroy Zionism, is not white. And so Consul, who is supporting it, he might not be white. Now, you know, I don't hate non-whites. I'm just saying that they might hate me, and they might hate Tan, and they might, you know, or not like us very much, and not like our network very much. And, you know, to say, go fuck yourself to a woman who's been around as long as I have, and, you know, has as much going, is a bit crude, you know? But it feels like the kind of thing that Carl Rattle would do, and the kind of thing that a lot of these northern pagan types would do. And so I want to go into, well, let's see if I can, let me finish this here. I'm running out of time. He says there's kind of an analogy in this kind of an anonymity of guerrilla warfare and of the cowardly partisan types who shoot at people when they're in hiding, you know, and they go back in the hiding and they're, you know, they're living in anonymity in the village and, you know, you can't tell them apart from the other people, and that's how they do their fighting. Well, if you think your cause is really just, you can justify that, but I think it's not honorable or brave at all, and that's what I think of something like this. Although, you know, I mean, he doesn't even try to explain why it's necessary for him, but I guess he figures people are supposed to know. So, and he also has a whole section on freedom of speech, Destroy Zionism does. And I looked at that, and I thought that was kind of funny, because he didn't allow me my speech. And I didn't say anything as offensive to him as he said in the end to me. And here's this Ron Paul exposed thing. May 28th of 2013, he wrote this thing. He just posted something about Ron Paul, and he puts under his picture, "Go fuck yourself, Ron." I don't know why he has to say that, but anyway, one of his regular commenters to his blog post is Varg Vikernes, who is well known. I never know what to call these people, you know, well known Odinist, but he says he's not really an Odinist. The Encyclopedia of White Power describes him as Odinist and National Socialist. And he was in prison, you know, for murdering somebody, but he's out now. He says, here's something that I read about him. I don't know how, this is from 2005, a statement he made on his website from the article, The Nazi Ghost. Now, there's that word ghost. There's that word ghost. You know, I'm just, you know, wonder who's really behind this? Lots of connections. But Vikernes wrote that. It's well known. And he states that although he occasionally used the term Nazism to describe his ideological foundation, he no longer describes himself as a Nazi. He says, the reason I have been drawn to and occasionally have expressed support for Nazism is mainly because many of the Norwegian and German Nazis embraced, puts "and German" in parentheses, that's his parentheses, not mine, many of the Norwegian and German Nazis embraced our pagan religion as our blood religion, and they rejected Judeo-Christianity as Jewish heresy. So the only reason he's saying that he supported Nazism is because so many Nazis rejected Christianity, which he hates, but which he considers, you know, Jewish. You know, I have studied that subject of the religion of National Socialists and so on. And apart from the SS, there wasn't much of that going on at all. And it wasn't as strong in the SS among everyone than they want to make out. You know, Himmler favored it. Himmler was interested in it. Yeah, they had some, you know, ceremonies and some programs and some, they had that big castle that they did things in. But that was just kind of a small part of it. They were just kind of working on that, and they had some projects looking into all of this. But it wasn't the major push or occupation of the SS at all, and particularly during the war. That all took second place. So it's not as big as they make out. However, this is interesting, too. Vikernes expresses a desire to not be associated with anti-Slavic sentiments. So he identifies three things which distinguish him from the Nazis. Quote, unlike them, I am not socialistic, not even on a national level, he said. So there you go. He doesn't like socialism. He's in one of these individualists, and he's very male-oriented, you know, this very maleness, you know, that often can coincide with homosexuality. I'm not saying he is. He's got a wife and kids. But I'm saying that this super maleness, strangely, often... I'm saying strangely, but often coincides with certain kinds of homosexuals who just want to be around men and love men and strong, beautiful men and so on. So that's all one kind of a thing, which doesn't go along with what National Socialism was, being for the folk, you know, being for the folk. And he says that he's not socialistic, he's not materialistic, and he believes in democracy, okay? But he calls it the ancient Scandinavian democracy, whatever that is. At least that's put in parentheses. So, I guess where every man in the tribe has a vote and they have a leader who everybody agrees on and so on. So he goes way back into a kind of an age where, in my mind, if I can put this clearly, I hope, it's partly... It inspires these men, and it's the only thing they like. They want to be true, rugged, real men, and this live close to nature and do all this stuff. Like boys playing games, you know, like boys forming a clubhouse. And now we're going to all be members of this club, and we're all these tough, we're doing this or that, you know, and, well, okay, they're all Vikings, you know, and they're going to talk about this, and they're going to they're going to make a flag for themselves, and they're going to write some precepts, and they're going to how to live and what to do. And this is what these guys like to do. I have been in so many organizations in my life and found that the men mostly wanted to spend their time developing, what some of these guys have been doing lately, writing manifestos of how it's going to be, and designing flags and symbols, and talking about all this stuff. And my feeling is that a whole lot of these people are never going to do anything, because they don't want it. They're not into sacrificing themselves or working with people, or they're just into this kind of thing. And that includes, well, a whole lot of people who are considered heroes this whole white nationalist movement, I guess, or white nationalism. But anyway, Vikernes coined. So, you know, I'm lukewarm about all of that. I realize, you know, that it's not for me. It's, you know, unless I was one of these kind of women that just wanted to join up with that. But, you know, I don't see it as being very useful. And I'll tell you the truth, Adolf Hitler did not either. And that's why they're not all fans of Hitler anymore. They're not. They are fans of, there's a lot to this. There's a lot of forms to it, a lot of varieties, and there's a lot of white guys who are really into it, and for that reason, you know, Hitler is not their favorite guy, and National Socialism is not their favorite thing, although a lot of them here, you know, kind of do some mouth service to it, and I see it as better than most anything, you know, than a lot of other stuff, but it's not their ideal at all. So it says here that Vikernes coined the term odalism, which is actually not Odinism, but odalism, which is based on the Odal rune from the Norse. See, again, it's Norse, and yet they want to include the Slavs in their thing. It references a whole bunch of things. Odalism, the Odal rune, has to do with homeland, allodium, allodial law, nobility, noble, inherited goods, fatherland, land property, distinguished family, distinguished splendid kin, and the nation. Now, you know, this is all very highly idealistic and beautiful to think about, and do artwork about, and to talk about, but, you know, is it, where is it ever going to fit in the world today anymore? Where is it going to? It doesn't seem to be anything to do with reality or with really trying to work on solutions, but just escapism in a large part. I understand the attraction of it for men, especially, but, you know, I know plenty of men who, when you get to know them well enough, they're just like boys wanting to play their games, you know. That's what they really enjoy when they have some free time to do it. So he says that odalism is not a term tainted by history, in contrast with Nazism. Okay, and then the Nazi, here's something, and this is not a quote, well, but it's from him somehow, from by Kiernis. The Nazi ghost has scared millions of Europeans from caring about their blood and homeland for 60 years now. This might be from that article, The Nazi Ghost. And it is about time we banish this ghost. So banish the Nazi ghost is what he's saying. And again, start to think and care about the things that, whether we like it or not, are important to us. So, the things that are important to us must be the things that are fit in with this Odal rune. You know, nobility, noble inheritances, fatherland, land property, you know, distinguished families, distinguished splendid kin, and the nation. All of this is very elitist, very, very elitist. And so he wouldn't like socialism at all. It just doesn't suit him at all. Now, there's a Varg on VNN Forum, and I had to check that out again to make sure that he's not this famous Varg by Kiernis, and he says so. He says, Varg just means wolf. That's what the name translates to. So, you know, I've used up all my time. I'm going to tell you that on Monday I'm going to talk about the who is a Holocaust revisionist. I want to talk more about a Holocaust than just that. So I will do that on Monday. That's probably a good idea. And I hope you tune in for that. But now, just last words on this. Well, nobody has called in. If you want to make a quick call, 830-443-4911. There's still some minutes left here. My final words on here would be, I got a few more things about it, but I don't know. Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to say that. Okay, so I'll just reiterate. I think it should be reiterated that, it takes everybody, all right? It takes lots of different kinds of people, different kinds of websites. I realize that, and it might sound like I'm just here pushing my own thing and looking, you know, putting down other things. I want to cross out that impression if you have that. I know that that we need as many people as possible doing things in their own way. But there might be a concern. It comes to my mind since I have questions. You know, when I question, I can't figure out why people are doing things, or then I have to come up with something. You know, my mind comes up with something. So what it comes up with, just like their mind, other people's minds come up with something when they look at the white network or don't understand that either or whatever, is that, how good for us are some of these websites that do seem to be just to target and Jews and to show cartoons of Jews? For example, where did I find that one now? It was at, I think it's here, Destroy Zionism. You go down, you know, the front page, there's no home. It's hard to get anywhere on this site, but there's nothing that says home. The home is just where you get when it's just destroyzionism.com. And there's a thing there from BNN Forum, and then there's a couple of things from other places. And then it says your gun control is useless. And by a cartoon by Ben Garrison, and there's this Jew, just this stereotypical Jew, we've seen this so many times, with that very big nose and beard. And he's sitting there, he's on the ground with his hands behind his back, and somebody's shooting, a bullet right through his forehead, and the blood's spurting out through his front of his forehead. They're shooting him from the back. And the Jew is saying, but we made guns illegal. Started meant illegal, but didn't only got that far. So it might give people a laugh, you know, and it might make a lot of sense, you know, because it's the Jews who are behind this gun control. But, you know, how smart is it to be putting this stuff on sites? And so, which are just going to be pointed to by these committees that they are forming and working with, and they've got the governments, you know, in their pockets pretty much, and they're going to point to this stuff, and they're going to say, well, there it is, we got to get rid of this. And then that's going to affect everybody, and it's going to affect the whole internet. So you have to ask the question. We would be irresponsible if we didn't ask the question, what are the intentions of so many of these people with their very hateful sites? And they are hateful. They are hateful. There's no question about that. Even though the people deserve it, the Jews deserve it, still, they're hateful. So we have to ask that question, and that's basically what I'm asking tonight in this whole two-hour program. I thank you very much for listening. This is Carolyn Yeager on Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn, and I'll see you on Monday and again next Saturday.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyager.com.